Hi, it's Ellen DeGeneres. Welcome to my podcast. We're going to listen to some of the best moments from the show, and it's going to be hosted by four executive producers that I love. Happy listening.
Today, we have a very special Thanksgiving episode of Ellen on the Go. The one, the only, Michelle Obama is here, and I have a special surprise for the other executive producers. That's right. Welcome to Kevin and Company, everybody.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
I've taken the reins.
It's Kevin and Company.
Kevin and Company.
I actually like Kevin and Company.
I like
Kevin
Andy
and Company's pretty good.
Who are you over there?
Oh, I'm Ed Glavin.
You?
Andy Lassner.
And?
Mary Connolly.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
So today is Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And happy Thanksgiving.
I mean, I tell you guys a lot, but I don't know if I've ever properly told you how thankful I am that you have given me this job.
You never have.
Trusted me all along the way.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, you take every interview, every moment to brag about me, and I just couldn't love this job more, and I couldn't love you guys more. So today, I'm going to get to know your guys' story a little bit more since you've told mine so many times.
Oh, God.
I'm very thankful.
Well,
he's got a whole agenda over here.
I know.
Here's what I will say before he does his thing.
Okay.
We joke about it, but for 16 years, we spend, I don't think people understand.
An ungodly amount of time together.
Let me explain this. We all have our own offices.
Yes, we do.
And yet we all sit in one office all day, and we spend more time with each other than we do with our families if you'd go hour by hour.
Monday through Friday, yes, that is correct.
I would suggest that you all have your own offices, and then I have a shared office.
That's true. But we spend all our time together, and after 16 years, you guys really are my family, and I'm very thankful for you.
I could not imagine doing this without any one of us. I love it so much, honestly.
This has been so much fun and such an amazing ride, and being able to do it together where we get to laugh together every day, and we work really hard and have a whole lot of fun, and I know that I could count on you guys for anything.
Yep.
And I'm so grateful for you on this special Thanksgiving.
Yep. Exactly. And I got so lucky that this is my first like big hit show I was part of.
Yep.
So you
it's
guys
so
have
crazy.
Seen my entire career, basically.
Yes, you started your Kevin's. I mean, you were an NBC page.
That's not what we're talking about.
I know, but let's just do it really fast. You're an NBC page. You were an NBC page, and then your first real job on a television show was this one, right?
Yes. And now, first real job,
It's really amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
So, Mayor Bear.
Yo.
What was your first job in entertainment?
My first job in entertainment was I was an NBC page.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
And then you were allowed to be an NBC page for, I think, 18 months. And right up against the edge of that 18 months, I had an assignment where I sat outside the Letterman studio, and my job was to pass out dressing room keys to the guests who came to the show. And Barbara Gaines, who was, I think, maybe a production coordinator at the time, walked by me one day and went, "Can you type?" And I said, "No, but I'll learn."
Good answer.
And so I went home and I tried to learn how to type really, really fast, and I was terrible. And I said to her one day, like, "I'm working on it." And she was like, "It's too late. It's over." And I was like, "Okay." And then she came by me a little while later and said, "Can you answer phones?" And I go, "Answering phones I can do." And I got hired to be the receptionist at Late Night with David Letterman in 1985. And 2 weeks into the job, I went to the office of the associate producer, whose name was Jude Brennan. And I said, "I'm sorry to bother you, but do you mind telling me how much this job pays?"
Oh, my gosh. Really?
She goes, "No one told you that?" And I said, "No, no one told me that." And it paid $300 a week.
Wow.
And it was my start.
Amazing. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm still friends with people who are pages.
You are.
This week, it is the 85th anniversary of the NBC Page program, and people are posting all sorts of embarrassing photos of us from 1985.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
And you're still friends with all those people at the Letterman stuff.
And I'm still friends with all the people at the Letterman
show. You've introduced us to some of them, and they're like an amazing group, too.
How long were you at Letterman altogether?
I was at Letterman for 10 and a half years.
I was so intimidated by you when we first started, because that was, oh my gosh, my favorite late night
show. I mean, because Letterman is like
Mary was on air, like,
I know.
Yeah, it was a fantastic job, and they raised me from a pup. They like taught me how to produce television.
And for
television.
You to be 70 years old and still working in the business you love is amazing.
She was in the fifth page class. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. You are such a bad man,
Randy Lassner.
Yes.
When did you feel like you made it in entertainment?
I think when I won an Emmy for the Rosie O'Donnell Show, it somehow felt like something.
What was your role there at that point?
Supervising producer.
Oh, that's so awesome.
But I had never worked on a show that even had been nominated. And then, I had done the Morton Downey Jr. show. I had done other daytime talk shows. So I just never thought I'd be on a show. Like, I watched Ed, who I knew, he got nominated for Donahue. Like, they were on real shows, and I never had that. And then getting nominated was huge. And then winning was the first time I felt like, oh, this is kind of cool.
And were you on Rosie from the very beginning?
Yes, I was.
Oh, my gosh. How did that compare to the beginning of this show?
Kind of similar.
Was it?
Yeah, it was very similar in that you knew you had a host. Like, you just had a feeling, oh, we got something here. And I can say that I've worked on shows where...
you know you don't have
I was like, oh, boy, I'm not sure this show is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pretty... But with the one thing I would say was similar about launching Rosie and launching Ellen was, oh, yeah, this is going to work. And even before, as soon as I heard both of those shows announced, I was like, yeah, those are good names.
And you were at Rosie O'Donnell with our friend Daniel Kellison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Friend of ours who was a producer with Mary at Letterman.
Ah, sweet.
I don't think Kevin was born at
no,
this
I don't
point.
Think, yeah. No, I used to. My college friends and I would watch Rosie. We took the trip out to, did you go with her when she was at Animal Kingdom at Disney World?
Yes.
Oh, we went. We all like packed
you
in the
went?
Car. And yes. It was hilarious.
That's crazy. You're probably in the same place at the same time. And who knew
yeah,
that
look,
all these years
all
later?
All these years later, we'd be a team.
Eddie Glavin.
Yes.
I'd like to hear about what of your previous jobs made you most ready to do this job at Ellen?
You know, I'm not sure, but I think the most foundational job in my career was the Phil Donahue show. That was really, really an amazing experience, and it was live. So it was live at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on NBC in New York City, and that was just the most visible job I had before the Ellen show. And he was just such an amazing guy. And he, like Ellen, was brilliant, and he was very quick. Like, his mind was just insanely fast, and, you know, he would run from one side of the studio to the other to take audience questions, and it was a really cool gig, and I did that for a few years. But I don't think anything could have prepared me for Ellen but working at Ellen.
What about
but
the
what's
rhyme
crazy is
for
all
Jenny
of our
Jones.
Careers have
the
all
rhyme!
Been...
For Jenny Jones, yes.
All of our careers have been talk shows.
Right.
I mean, Mary had a little where she worked on Whose Line Is It
she
Anyway?
Was in
oh, she also
was
worked
on
Mad
About
She also
you.
Worked on Mad About You. Okay, so Mary's had a real
time.
Career. The rest of us have literally
well,
made our living.
Yeah, well,
daily
here's,
television.
Here's a fun
a
fact.
Good living.
You ready for this, Kevin?
Yeah, ready.
Okay.
Ed and I were working in the same building in 30 Rock at the same time. I was an NBC page and working at the Letterman show when he was on the Donahue show.
Yeah,
that is true.
Wow.
Then,
isn't that crazy?
Andy was working in 30 Rock at the Rosie O'Donnell show.
But before
show.
That, I was Ed's intern at the Morton, my first
right.
ever job.
I'm talking.
Okay. And it's really, I think people really want to hear about me on this podcast. But go ahead. What happened?
And then,
I was at 30 Rock.
You were at 30 Rock and the Rosie O'Donnell show in the same studio that the Phil Donahue show had been in.
That's right. That's right. We shot that in there.
Yeah.
And then also, we had a fire at 30 Rock and David Letterman kindly offered his studio to us for a week, and we did shows on the David Letterman set.
How about that?
Rosie
really?
O'Donnell
is that
girls.
Right?
Yeah.
Remember we did Ellen on the Letterman set?
Yes.
That was very cool.
And that was all Mary Connelly's doing right there.
Yeah.
I did an internship in Philadelphia only because I didn't have enough credits to graduate. And like 3 days, it was for a PM magazine show, like a sort of like extra in Philadelphia, locally produced. And 3 days into that internship, I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever been a part of, and I only want to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
It was the first time I did not have to detail cars. And that's all I've done my entire career is daily television.
That is so cool. We were joking, but tell them about the rhymes with Jenny Jones.
So my wife and I took over the Jenny Jones show in 1992, ran it for 8 years, and we got into a zone where I just wanted every show had a title. So it was what you would call a one-hour, one-topic show. So whatever the theme was, like Geek to Chic.
What was Geek to Chic, Eddie?
Well, one title would be, I mean, we did it many times.
So but what
was Geek
what,
to Chic? It was people who, you know, looked really nerdy, had frizzy hair and braces, might have been like heavier, and then blossomed into beautiful, in some cases, strippers.
So mean.
Yeah. And, so,
and you didn't make them over. It was just they started out that way and then they became chic, or did you make them over from geek to chic?
Well, I would say they started out really geeky and then always thought they were chic.
I see.
Sometimes they actually were, sometimes less so. And we would rhyme the titles, and it was maybe the most fun I had for 8 years was doing those rhymes.
It's so funny.
I used to be fat, now I'm all that.
Yep. Which is also sort of your story.
Exactly. That's true.
What are the most important things when it comes to socks? For me, it's comfort, quality, and fit. Well, the geniuses at Bombas put 2 years of research and development into their socks and came up with the most comfortable ones out there. Honeycomb arch support, cushioned footbed, seamless toe, super soft cotton, stay-up technology. These are just some of the many features that make Bombas socks superior to all others. And did you know that socks are the number one requested item in homeless shelters across the U.S.? When the founders of Bombas saw the statistic, they decided to do something about it. That's why for every pair of socks they sell, they also donate one to someone in need. At Bombas, they believe in 100% customer happiness. Simply put, if you don't love their socks as much as they think you will, they'll refund you, no questions asked. And Bombas is offering 20% off your first purchase. You can save 20% by visiting bombas.com/Ellen, and that's bombas.com/Ellen, and entering the offer Ellen in the checkout code space.
All right, here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And obviously it's changed a lot because you've been successful here, but how has your life changed the most since we kicked off in 2003?
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
I can say how my life has changed. I went from a father of one daughter to getting married again and having three kids.
Wow.
And yeah, Ellen was at my wedding, and Mary and Ed.
Not invited, not hurt.
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my life has changed in so many ways.
That's
it's been
crazy.
Like 16 years. And
did you ever think you'd have kids again once Aaron was?
No. I thought, this is good. I'm done. The thing is, when you get a second wife,
voice.
They often want kids, too.
Oh, my gosh.
They're so cute.
Andy has the most adorable family.
Thank you.
I mean, we all.
You all have pretty good families.
Yeah, but.
But you weren't.
Yeah.
When you were on Rosie,
yeah.
You weren't recognizing you were walking around.
No.
No. I've been out with Andy. Everyone recognizes him.
It's so weird.
Yeah. We started doing bits with him on the show, and here's one of the earliest ones. We used to do something called cold opens where we'd come up on Ellen before we'd even start the show, mm-hmm. and we were doing a little joke about the holidays, and all Andy had to say was, it burned for 8 days. And he couldn't get through it without laughing, and I'm not going to describe it, but here you go.
You know, we do these cold opens that before we start the show, sometimes when we're surprising someone for the audience, I'm in my dressing room and I say, you see that person out there? And so they're called cold opens, and we shoot them like right before the show starts. And we're shooting something last week, and Andy, I'm sure you've seen Andy before because he's always on camera. He's taking gum out of his mouth right now. So Andy is backstage with me, and we're about to shoot this thing, and he had one line, and all he was supposed to say was, it burned for 8 days, and because we were supposedly talking about Hanukkah. But Andy, of course, took it a different way in his head, so as he's trying to say, it burned for 8 days, he couldn't keep a straight face, and we were trying to start the show. Literally, it was supposed to be a quick thing and then start the show. This is us trying to do that one thing last week.
Five, four, three...
Okay. Am I in the right place?
Okay.
Am I in the right place?
It's so stiff.
Am I in the right place?
Four, three.
I got it. Okay, just roll.
We are rolling.
Anyway.
Oh. Okay.
And it burns for... Stop. Just look at me normal. Okay, ready? It burns... Three.
What did I do?
Okay.
What did I do?
Okay.
Okay. And then it burned for 8 days. I got it. Yep. It burned for 8 days.
8 days? Did you see a doctor? Oh, hi. Andy and I were just talking about the miracle of Hanukkah. So,
to be fair, I was laughing too, which made it harder. So, Andy, I want to give you another chance to show people. Come on over, Andy. No.
It burned for 8 days.
No, you're supposed to look at me, but that's not what I want. I want you to say, so I have some other things I want you to say. like that. You need that, all right?
Okay.
So start with, is your Yule log burning?
Is your Yule log burning? Is your Yule log burning?
Good. That's good.
I got it.
This one should be good.
Ah, stop.
This is good. My fruitcake has nuts.
My fruitcake has nuts.
All right. That was good. Say, open my package. Look at me.
Open my... Open my package.
All right.
They're saying we're out of time.
Are they saying we're out of time?
Yeah.
Are they saying that, Mary? One more.
Okay.
Okay.
Quick.
Which one of these do you want to say?
Do you have balls on your tree?
Oh my God, that is amazing. So funny.
So that stupid clip.
I mean, Kevin
launched.
Has produced this whole podcast.
Yeah, this is Kevin.
This is fantastic.
Kevin is a little more buttoned up than Ellen.
Yes,
and Friends,
I like that.
Whatever it's called.
I like the Kevin Lehman on the go podcast.
Wow.
So that,
yeah, I know.
That one little bit launched something called Can Andy Say That? Which the writers have a lot of fun with writing about balls and whatever. And here's a little bit of that.
Can you crack my nuts?
Can you crack my nuts? We're out of time.
Now, here's one. It's going to be a double. Just wait for both of them. My wife wanted a big package, but I have a small package.
I have a small package.
No, no. No. No.
Okay.
No. It's not confession time.
Okay,
I'm asking you to...
Okay.
Repeat.
Okay.
My wife wanted a big package.
My wife wanted a big package, but I have a but I have a small package.
There you go. You've completed it. That's how you play. Can Andy say that? We'll be right back.
And now Andy's like on air all the time, and in fact we have another Average Andy coming up. So you got to check out the Ellen DeGeneres Show to see that. It's right around the corner.
Yay.
Eddie Glavin.
Yes,
let's talk about
Eddie Glavin.
How's your life changed?
Yeah, play my
the most.
How was your life changed?
You began, as this show started to form, you were a guy living in New Jersey with your family.
I feel like an entirely different human being than I was when this show started, for real. I did not want to move to California. Like, I worked for this company for 15 years before, or maybe like 12 or 13 years before this show launched.
Ed worked for Telepictures, who runs our show.
And managed to not have to live in Los Angeles. I mean, my whole family's in Philadelphia or around Philadelphia, and I really didn't want to leave the East Coast, but... Once I met Mary at a show we were both sort of consulting on, I really wanted the opportunity to work with her again. So I did move the whole family out here. My youngest, Colin, was just going into kindergarten, and now all they really know and remember is California.
Yeah.
They're surfers. Colin won't leave California. He wouldn't leave California to go to college. Like, he's just never going to leave
they
California.
They were so upset at the time
so
about coming out here.
Well, we told them that we bought a house in California. They were just these little kids, and they thought we were just adding to our collection of houses. We neglected to tell them that, no, we're actually moving to this house in California. And that did not go over well. But, I mean, my whole life's changed. And I don't think I'll ever leave this area. It's just such a great place to live. Also... We're here 16 years.
Yeah.
11 years in, I quit drinking.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
That was big.
You're sober Eddie.
That was a big, I still sometimes don't believe that to be true.
Yeah. You were more.
Because, I had a good 30 years of drinking before the five where I didn't.
You were a lot more fun when you drank.
Not true.
That's what I thought for the first couple of years.
What people probably don't know about Ed is, like, he is so determined. Like, he was determined to stop drinking.
He does not take no for an answer.
No. And
he doesn't
helped
accept.
Also, like, launch all of our social networks and everything we do here. He's been amazing at that. And he also, when he put his mind to it, decided to run a marathon.
Which is,
he sure did.
And if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't seen me, that's an achievement.
It's a thing.
No. He's got calves that won't stop.
No, but seriously, to be 4 foot six, 220, and run 26 miles.
26 miles.
That's an achievement.
Oh man! Yeah.
But after he ran the New York Marathon, Ellen gave him a kind shout out.
Before we go to break, there's one thing that I have to do. My executive producer Ed Glavin ran the New York City Marathon over the weekend, and I want to congratulate him, Ed. I want you to come out. I want to talk to you. Bring your medal. Bring your medal. No, no, no. Show everybody your medal. All right, look at that. So, it's 26 miles, right?
26.2.
26.2. And what was your time?
That was 5.5 hours.
5.5 hours of running. And then you flew back last night.
This morning.
Yeah. So you got home this morning.
I got home this morning.
And you're a little. I've seen you walking a little bit. You're a little. Can you do a squat right now? Like.
Sure.
Yeah. How's that feel? Doesn't feel good?
No, doesn't feel good at all.
No. What about a jumping jack? Would that be good?
I'll try one.
No.
It's a little ginger.
Okay. All right. Well, I think you should soak in a tub or something. Uh-huh. But we're really proud of you, Ed. That was amazing.
I love you.
All right. I love you, too. All right.
I want to talk about the new sheets I've discovered from brooklinen.com. You know that incredible feeling that fancy hotel sheets have? Well, Brooklinen was started by a husband and wife who didn't think it should be so difficult and expensive to get sheets like that at home. Brooklinen is the fastest-growing bedding brand in the world with over 30,000 five-star reviews, and they were just named the winner in the Best of Online Bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Their mission? To bring five-star hotel-quality luxury sheets to everyday life without the luxury markup, which could be as high as 300%. The sheets don't just feel great, but they look great too. You can mix and match over 20-plus colors and patterns. My Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Now it's time for your upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code Ellen at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Ellen at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com, promo code Ellen. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever.
All right, Mary Bear,
how's
your life changed?
How has my life changed? My life has changed in oh so many ways. When I began this show, Julie and I had been together for a couple of years. I got married during the course of this show. We have two beautiful girls.
Yes, you do.
Good
over
kids.
These years. So I have like a family. I've had pets and dogs and things I never thought I would ever have.
I love it.
In my life.
When you started this show, gay marriage was not legal.
That's right.
Did you always want to be a mom?
Yes. Oh. I always.
How cool.
I always wanted to be a mom. I couldn't always picture how that would happen. I didn't necessarily see myself married to a man, although
You dated men for a long time?
I did date. I did. I
lots and lots of men.
Really nice guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't...
Oh, I wish I was straight Mary.
Straight Mary.
Was problematic.
I'm sure.
Straight Mary was confused.
Straight Mary drank. Straight Mary, Straight Mary had a lot to figure out. Yeah. She had not been in therapy. She didn't grow up in a culture where it was okay to be out and gay.
It's crazy how much everything has changed.
And even just say that.
So, Tony, you heard the news, right?
I did hear the news.
It's very exciting.
It
our
is,
producer,
indeed.
Our executive producer, Mary Conley, and her wife, Julie, welcomed a brand new baby.
Yes.
Into the world. Matt. That is a very pretty baby, and her name is Catherine Crawford Silver Connolly, and her last name is... It's a long name.
Yes.
She's 7 pounds, 10 ounces, and 19 and 3/4 inches long.
Wow.
For those of you keeping score at home, Catherine is 1/4 inch longer than our writer Gil's baby I talked about yesterday, so she wins.
Now, I know Kevin is running this podcast.
Yeah, it's Kevin and Co.
Kevin and Co. I like Kevin running it today.
I have something. I'll let you keep going.
Well,
keep going.
I'm ready to get to Michelle Obama. Speaking of
okay,
people,
what I would like to say yes, is dear.
We all got richer.
As much fun as it has been to be together for 16 years, mm-hmm. none of us would be able to do what we do without our families at home, and without the people who are really the reason we get up in the morning and do what we do. And it's my wife, Julie, and my daughter, Sarah, and my daughter, Katie. We find a way to make it all work, but it's not always easy because we have to be here a lot.
Yes, we do.
We work really long hours. And I am very, very grateful to my family at home.
Ellen drains a lot of our time.
I was going to say, and to Ellen. I mean,
yes.
Ellen is...
Come on.
Our lives have changed because
of Ellen.
Ellen.
Of course.
Yes.
We all have so much more as people, and I feel just more fulfilled in 16 years than I did 16 years ago. And materially, we obviously all have more, but I think we've all become more charitable because we're around Ellen.
Well,
I think that's right.
I mean, Ed hoards a little, but speaking for me, Mary, and Ed, we've become more charitable.
That is so mean.
I'm a giver.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you, guys. Let's talk about Michelle Obama.
I love her.
Oh, my God.
I love Michelle Obama.
Here,
I love her so much.
Everyone in the office is just happy, better. It is so much fun. There's electricity. Yes. And Ellen is happy. Ellen starts bragging a week out that her and Michelle are texting each other. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I was texting Michelle last night.
Yeah, I was texting Michelle last night.
And I always feel guilty, but I just stay quiet because I don't want to brag that Michelle and I are texting also.
Yeah, very close.
We text.
Yeah, Michelle Obama aired last week, so hopefully it's still on your DVR. We had her for the entire hour. You should watch it. It's really amazing. And if it's not on your DVR, we're going to repeat it sometime in the next month. So just keep watching and you'll see it.
Last time she was here, we took her to CVS and they went shopping together.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
Really, really fun. You would think you couldn't top it.
Nope. This time we took her to Costco.
Yep.
Because Michelle has a new book out called Becoming. And Ellen decided to do an impromptu book signing there. She thought that would be hilarious. They have a big pile of books. And they just crashed to Costco. And this is what happened.
All right. Oh, look. This is the first time I've seen my book in a store.
It's here. You're going to sign books.
We have a Michelle Obama book. Michelle Obama. She'll be signing books.
How are you? What's your name?
I'm Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. You got your book?
You'll start reading it when you get home.
Ellen, you can't sign my book.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. Oh, wait. Okay,
Cameron.
So now you have to make a choice. Do you want an Ellen-signed Michelle Obama book or a Michelle Obama-signed Michelle Obama book?
What if you get both of our signatures?
That would be fantastic.
Well,
why is your signature bigger than mine on my book? The heck?
Free samples. Anybody want a free sample?
First of all, Michelle Obama tells an amazing story.
She does. She tells a great talk show story.
She tells a great talk show story. Yeah. And she told these stories that were in her book. And she told one story about the day that marriage equality became the law of the land. And they lit up the outside of the White House in rainbow colors. And it was really moving and it was special. And people came out to really celebrate that in front of the White House. And Michelle Obama was watching it on TV in the White House and realized that if she just went outside her house, she could actually also be there.
So you talk about in the book also the night that gay marriage passed. And this is a great story.
Yeah. One of the interesting things, I bring it up to talk about just how vastly different one day could be. In the White House during our administration. And the day that Barack and I went to the funeral where he famously sang Amazing Grace, we were at that funeral. But we flew back, and that same day, marriage equality was passed. And that same day. And we're in the White House, and when you're in the residence, there's so much bulletproof glass that sometimes you don't hear what's going on outside. And we were having dinner, and we were, you know, listen. We knew that there was celebration happening, but we didn't realize that people, thousands of people, were gathering in front of the White House at that time to celebrate. And my staff was calling me, and everybody was celebrating, and people were crying. And I thought, I want to be in that, you know. Also, we had worked to make sure that the White House was lit up in the LGBT colors. So the lighthouse was...
It was so beautiful.
It was beautiful. So we had made that plan, and I was sitting and watching it on TV and realizing I'm living this. I said, I have to break out of this. I want to go outside, and I want to be a part of that celebration. So I had the bright idea, I'm going outside, okay? So I tried to find some partners. So I went to Barack's office and I said, we should go outside. And he was like, babe, I've got too much stuff to do. I can't go out. And he's like, you know I can't walk outside. Come on, get out of my office. Yeah, I go to Malia, I said, I go to Sasha, I said, you wanna come outside with me and see the house, its colors, let's celebrate. And she's like, no, I'm watching. I went to Malia's room and I said, come on, go with me. And she says, okay, I'm down. So it's me and Malia, and we're trying to get out of the White House and realize that it's not that easy to get out of the White House when you're in it. But we were determined, and I said, we are not listening to anyone. We are going to walk out that door, you and me. So you come out of the residence, and there's an elevator, and there's usually an agent right there. And when you come out, they whisper, you know, our code names, they're moving. And I'm like, dig, they know we're moving. It's like, let's not take the elevator. Come on, you and me, go down the stairs. So we rush down the stairs, and you can see the agent thinking, why are they running? And he doesn't quite know what to do, so he starts following us. And I'm like, run faster, run faster. And we go down the steps. And we go to the front door, the north portico door, which faces Pennsylvania Avenue. And I'm just thinking, I'm going to walk out. So we go to the door, and the door is locked. So now there are many people behind us. The uniformed policeman, the usher who's in charge of the house. And they don't know what to do, right? And they're like, ma'am, where are you going? I say, I'm going out. We're going out. We're going outside. And they're watching and they're calling in more people. She's trying to get out. She's trying to get out. And Malia's like, she's pumped up. She's like, we're going to do this, Mom. You get out. You get out. But the door is locked. And then the usher says, ma'am, if you walk out there, you will be on camera in front of the nation. Now, I'm in ripped-up shorts and, you know, a T-shirt, no shoes on, no makeup. And I thought, you have a point. I don't want to be on that clip looking like this. But eventually, the happy news was that we got out. Malia and I walked outside. It took 15 minutes to get outside, and we stood along with all the cheering crowd off to the side, mind you, so no one would see us, with security surrounding us, and we tried to have our tender mother-daughter moment, but we just took it in. I held her tight, and my feeling was, see where this is. We are moving forward. You know, change is happening.
That's beautiful. So. That's so good.
If you're looking for beautiful, well-crafted furniture with a Scandinavian simplicity, look no further. Article is an online-only furniture company that eliminates the layers of traditional retail and keeps their prices low and quality high.
Let me guess. No showrooms?
No showrooms.
No salespeople?
No salespeople.
Just savings.
You got it, Mary. Article is serious about shipping, too. No matter how many items, every order is shipped flat for $49. That's so crazy.
And within 2 to 3 weeks.
Yep. And if you need help getting it set up, they have options for in-room delivery and assembly assistance. They are all about the customer coming first. They have a 30-day return policy, and that's honestly the best customer service in the business.
It sure is.
The Article is offering our listeners $50 off their first purchase of $100 or more. Visit article.com/Ellen. That's all it takes. Go to article.com/Ellen, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's all you have to do. That's article.com/Ellen to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 and more. And they have beautiful furniture. If you don't believe me, just go right now, click on their website. The stuff is so cool.
It was so fun having her this time, now that she's out of the White House.
Yeah.
Because
there's no guard anymore. She didn't have to be... I mean, I always remember. We were... When she co-hosted with Ellen, when she was the first lady, we had a game called... I don't remember what it called. Michelle Obama this or that, maybe?
Yeah.
And we gave her just two choices of rather mundane things, and she had to pick what she liked. And we were in rehearsal, where we asked her Twizzlers or Red Vines.
Right.
And she goes, Twizzlers. Then there was a lot of whispering in the audience between her people talking. And then a hand goes up, oh, we're not going to answer that question.
Oh,
so I don't know what, like what kind of deal they had with Red Vines.
That's amazing.
But now we put her in the hot seat, and Ellen was allowed to ask her whatever she wants, and she just answers.
We are back with Michelle Obama, and we have learned a lot about you in this book, but we have a few more questions, and so we thought we would play a quick round of burning questions. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Jermaine Jackson of the Jackson 5. Let me explain, because most people were, they had a crush on Michael.
That's right.
And I was young, I liked the older Jermaine. Yeah, I was into the older man. I think I was 7.
Wow. Tell us something you stole from the White House.
We had to pay for everything. That's in the book. I know you stole stuff.
I did. I stole, well, the napkins that were in the bathroom.
Do you still have them?
No.
What did you do with them?
I don't know. Do your best Barack Obama impression.
Oh, well, let me tell you, I have 3 points. one, and then there's two, and finally, 3.
That's a good one. All right.
You didn't do your best Barack Obama impression.
Oh, well, I don't really do impressions. I'm really bad at impressions. Do you have a nickname that you like to be called?
Mish.
What is something that you love that everyone else doesn't?
Kale.
Who are you better friends with, me or Oprah? I know,
Ellen.
Oprah. No, my spouse gives the best.
He's the best at everything.
Oh, that's a good answer.
What about you?
She's the best at everything.
Well done.
When you're alone, what do you talk to your dogs about? Do you talk to your dogs?
Oh, gosh, yes. How's your day? What are you doing? What do you have? Did you bring me a bone? What did Dad do? Oh, we have long conversations.
Yeah.
What do you talk to your dogs about?
It's usually, what's that on your butt? Let me come here. let me get that. You know. What do you do that makes your daughters laugh?
Imitate their father.
Besides your family, who would you like to go on a road trip with?
Ellen.
Really? That's so sweet.
You didn't answer it?
Yeah, Michelle.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Where would we go?
I don't know. Where would you want to go?
We should travel across America.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah,
let's travel across. Let's you and I do it. Yeah. Because I got to tell you, she keeps me in this crazy world when I'm freaking out and stressed and going, what's happening? She texts me the most positive, optimistic things and keeps me balanced, because...
So I could show you how much you don't have to worry about.
I know. Well, let's do it. All right. It is called Becoming, and it's available in bookstores and online. It is a fantastic book, obviously. Today, you're all going home with a copy.
She just makes everyone feel
she's
good.
She's so
nice. Like, looks
she's
in the eye, and she just makes
she's
everyone...
optimistic.
And she's nice to everyone on the staff. She's so appreciative for everything we do. She's
if
just
she
great.
Senses that... this is the part of their texting relationship that blew my mind. If she senses that Ellen is down or gets discouraged about the state of the state,
right?
She sends her positive stories to lift Ellen's spirits.
That's awesome.
Like, that's amazing.
Michelle Obama sees the glass half full. 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
No matter what's happening.
And Ellen makes sure that during Ellen, for an hour a day, wants to raise everybody up and make people feel good. That's what she wants to do with her hour a day on the air. And Michelle Obama does that for Ellen.
And they should be doing a buddy comedy.
Without a doubt.
The two of them at Costco is so funny.
Yeah. Twin sisters separated at birth.
Oh.
Good, Kevin.
Look who already has
my
a idea. Plot.
My pitch. My pitch. I own it.
And she's just smart. Like
God,
she is
so
a smart lady who just understands how it all works.
They're a cool couple.
Yeah. Oh, and I bet she's an awesome mom.
Oh, yeah. And the kids are cool. From what you can just tell, those kids are cool. And talking about her daughter's date, picking the daughter
the prom
up
story?
At the prom on the at the White House. You got to listen to this.
So in the book, you talk about Malia going to prom.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I just can't even imagine.
Let's set the stage.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, their whole lives were spent trying to have a normal life, go to soccer matches and birthday parties and sleepovers and have kids come over with a security detail. So then prom comes, and Malia asks, can I please ride with my date in his car? Because at that point, they had never driven in another person's car for security reasons. Kids could ride in their car, but they couldn't accept a ride from someone else. So everything in their lives is now a discussion. We have to pull in security. We have to talk to the chief of staff, talk to the communications director. And we decide, my thing was, she's got to ride in the car with her prom date. You know, I mean, come on, people. So she gets to ride. So he comes to pick her up. poor kid. And he's got to come through the official driveway that dignitaries come when state visits happen, around the South Lawn, that long driveway up to the front door of our home, which is like the dip room. We're coming down the elevator because, you know, we're in the elevator, me and Barack and Malia, and she's like, just be cool. You know, it's like, please don't embarrass me. She looked beautiful. I mean, she just was a vision, is a vision. And Barack's trying not to cry, and he's trying to act cool. And we greet the young man in a nice tux. And, you know, God knows what happened to him getting in, because I tried to make security know he's coming. Don't hassle him. I told Malia, make sure his car is clean, if you know what I mean, because dogs sniff the car. I said, I don't want him to be embarrassed. So I said, I don't know the kid, but, you know, he's picking up at a different house. I had met him, but I didn't know him. So he comes in, and you can tell he's a little nervous. And we shake his hand, take a picture, and they get in the car, and they go off, and then, like, three cars follow. It's like them, and then three cars, with men with guns. And Barack was like, this makes running for a second term all worthwhile. My daughter is being followed by men with guns. Yeah. He's like, I'm good.
There's also a segment on the Michelle Obama show where we put together a tape piece that showed the impact that Michelle Obama has had on this country. And it was the one thing we didn't tell Michelle that was happening in the show. So Ellen starts to intro it, and Michelle goes, wait, what? What's happening? I didn't know about this. And we rolled the tape.
It was really fun.
And it was a beautiful tape piece.
That was really cool.
And you can see that on our show. That's on your DVR. You can see it on EllenTube. But check it out. Take the 5 minutes and check it out, because it's really
worth your time.
It makes you feel good,
and your money.
Worth your time.
Kevin, you didn't tell us how your life has changed since the show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, because that's Kevin & Co.
Yeah,
no,
that's right.
That no.
You're the boss of Kevin & Co.
Yeah,
I got it.
Kevin, how has your life changed?
I mean, that would be a couple hour special we'd have to do.
Oh.
I mean, I was straight when I started here. I used to stay at work for as long as I could, so I wouldn't have to, like,
socialize
my real life.
Yeah.
There was
know
a
that
lot
feeling.
Going on. Yeah. So I mean, just like the gift of like being who I am, talking to my family about who I am, dating a man that I love, like my. Every single thing has changed. All of it was because of you guys. So I just wanted to just take this hour. I hope everyone listening, all eight of you, call five people that you wouldn't normally tell that you're thankful for them today, and just let them know that you love them. And
yep.
That's it.
I love you, Kevin.
I love you, Kevin. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And next week, find out how you too can win 12 days, all 12 days of giveaways, thousands and thousands of dollars, just by listening to Andy and Friends podcast.
It's Kevin and Company.
Today it's Kevin and Company. Today was a guest.
Kevin and Co. was a one and done.
I relinquished the reins for one episode.
Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to us right now. And don't forget to watch the Ellen DeGeneres Show weekdays for even more Ellen fun.
Woo-hoo!
Bye, everybody. Happy
Drive safe.
Bye.
Drive safe.
But now I'm realizing this Kool-Aid ain't for me. It's cool 'cause all my